Okay, seeing none, we'll start with Mayor John Scholes, then. Are these in, these probably are in order, right?
Yeah, they're in a logical order.
Okay, and then is it Robert Peralt, Craig Campbell, Jerry Bunnan, Urban McClellan, and Gordon Hensley? Those are my speaker cards for this agenda item.
Also,
The chair, I think I've got this right. The chair granted a request for the city to have a total of 15 minutes. Hopefully that's a correct notation I have here. Yeah, I wrote down 15 for home builders. I also wrote 15 for the city. Is that?
We respectfully request 20 minutes if that's at all possible.
Okay, anyway. Let's go ahead. 20 minutes.
Okay. Chair Young, members of the board, thank you for this opportunity to come before you today. Thank you to the staff for all their hard work. My name is John Scholes. I am the mayor of Grover Beach. This item is very important to the city, which is documented by not only my presence here before you today, but I am joined by our Mayor Pro Tem, Bill Nichols, one of our city council members, Karen Bright, and I don't believe I see anyone else from the council here. We also have a long list of city staff led by our city manager, Bob Perot, our city engineer, Jim Gehring, our interim community development director, Pat Beck, our city attorney, Martin Kazanowicz, and I'm sure if I missed any staff members, they'll let me know later. Let me begin by saying that the city of Grover Beach is definitely committed to working with the state and working with our partners in an effort to make sure that we are regulating stormwater runoff, minimizing pollutants that are running into our creeks and our waterways. We understand the importance of the waterways, and we understand the importance of protecting the ocean, which is the lifeline to our community. And so we have tried as a city to be progressive in how we deal with stormwater drainoff. And I think your staff even said some of the standards that we have been implementing or enforcing for years are progressive. And so our concern is certainly that we have a plan that was initially prepared by staff, and there have been substantial revisions by board staff, and I would have to disagree with your staff when she says there are minor changes. There are major changes that we can document the impacts on our community, and I'm going to allow the city manager to go through a much more thorough presentation than I have, and then I will wrap up and give you some concluding remarks. But we've been very successful even prior to this whole process beginning. And I think if anyone takes a drive through the city of Grover Beach, you will see on-site basins, you will see joint basins, you will even see residential homes on small lots in which the front yard is a sump. And we are really starting to impact people's usability of their property. And so we do need to strike a balance. And so we're here and hoping to appeal to your sense of fairness as we go forward. And just quickly, the city really believes we have three concerns: that the interim requirements are restrictive and difficult to achieve, that we believe that the SWMP exceeds the maximum extent practicable requirements. I think the city manager will expound on that. And then finally, we understand the argument of whether it's federal or whether it's state, but we believe that a lot of the requirements that have been thrust upon the city exceed the federal requirement, and therefore it becomes, we believe, an unfunded state mandate. We will give you examples based on our experience of how this has impacted redevelopment and improvement in our community. So we'll get to all of that. There have been great comments made up here. With that, I'd like to introduce our city manager, Bob Perot.
First of all, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'd like to thank your staff for the courtesy they've shown us in preparing for this presentation. But I'd like to move along if I could. Some of this you may have heard and from your staff, and I'll try and be rather quickly in going through some of our background so we can retain more time for some of the more critical points. Relative to the history of Grover Beach is unique, as already has been said. It was actually mapped out in 1887, and I think the interesting point about that, it was actually mapped out over ancient sand dunes. So there was no stormwater runoff problem in 1887, obviously. There's no natural water course. The sandy soil presents itself with a high infiltration rate. Meadow Creek is the only creek that receives our runoff. Meadow Creek, as has already been designated, comes in actually from Arroyo Grande on the northeast, travels around the north side of the town, exits through Pismo Beach, comes back in and through the west side of the community, and then exits on the southwest. Perhaps the important part about that is we're not obviously the only contributor to that stream. So whatever we do is to a certain extent has to be kept in context that we're not the only controllers of water quality in that particular stream. As has already been said, the city is geographically small, only 2.25 square miles. I know it's a bit hard to see, but you'll see the city on the large map that is being displayed. The red spots on that map are the only large areas that are left for development at all. So essentially, the town is for all intents and purposes, is built out, as you can see. It is primarily a good candidate for redevelopment, and it makes good sense to incorporate smart growth principles. The average lot size we figure in downtown Grover Beach is roughly 5,000 square feet. It varies from that, 5,000 to 10,000, but these are basically very, very small parcels that we're dealing with. And just as I've said, most of the improvement projects tend to be on single parcels. We don't have large development occurring in Grover Beach, and that presents some of the difficulties for us in implementing the project. As already has been said, we are good stewards of both the land and stormwater, have been since the very early years, largely in part to the work done by our city engineer. The master storm drain was adopted in 1976, and even then it relied heavily on a combination of drainage basins. Water retention on site was from the very beginning of a part of that particular program. The city is concerned about groundwater. It is true. We get roughly 1,200 acre-feet per year from the water basins and our wells. The remaining 800 acre-feet comes from Lake Lopez. But that's one of the reasons that we've already taken the steps we have in developing the standards that we did in 2006. The standards were modified for all new development projects and most redevelopment projects in general to retain all water from a 100-year storm with a six-hour duration on site. So obviously we were in advance of probably most of the other municipalities within the county. But, you know, we've had some experience now since we've been dealing with the standards through 2006. And though, yes, I know your staff has indicated that we should basically go ahead and be enrolled recognizing just minor changes to these standards, we actually think that in order to strike a balance between development interests, redevelopment interests, and the need for water quality, we actually need to back away from those standards and take another look at it in some cases. And the reason for that is again, for new small projects where the option to drain to a basin is not possible, we feel that it just works in that particular case, but in other cases it just doesn't. And those cases, to a certain extent, have already been pointed out. In the case of the Chevron station, I'd like to speak about that a little bit in particular. Chevron Station is located on the corner of 13th and Grand. It was covered already with 100% impervious soil, impervious surface. They were required basically to retain all water on site. It ended up being a direct contradiction with the County Environmental Health Department. It didn't work because of the tanks below surface and the concern that if a leak should occur, we would end up actually polluting the groundwater quicker. Your staff was actually involved in some of the discussions on that issue, and as a result, in this particular case, we decided to, the decision was made to retain a minimum of water on site, basically that was coming off of rooftops, et cetera, but to take most of the surface runoff and allow it to go to the street where, you know, it could be better dealt with. Reference has also been made to the Taco Bell on Grand Avenue, and that was roughly 8,000 square feet. And again, another large, very small parcel. They were required to maintain 100% on site. Basically, if I'm not mistaken, they constructed a retention basin that basically took up a lot of the underground underneath their site. It was very expensive. In essence, the problem with this was that they weren't actually contributing anything new with the redevelopment of the site to the stormwater runoff. They are simply the site was already impervious. So relative to this, we believe that the city is requesting, again, a delay of the enrollment for 2 years in order to allow us to work with the LID factors and to come up with actually a set of standards that works well for all of us. I want to talk about the BMPs, if I could, and the cost of doing this project. From our perspective, the stormwater management program as currently drafted is just too costly and impractical to implement. There are a number of BMPs included in the plan, and they've grown since 2003. Additionally, the cost associated with the implementation has grown since 2003. City resources are probably now more constrained than they ever have been in the history of the city. And we have very, very limited options for raising additional revenue. I want to point out that in 2003, when we started down this road, the city submitted a swamp and notice of intent to comply. At that time, the best management practices were estimated, there were 20 of them, to take care of the six different categories. And the costs associated with implementing these 20 BMPs was estimated at $54,467. They've since grown to 142 and estimated cost of $150,000. How did we get from 20 to 142? Well, largely we submitted it was kind of an escalating factor from staff's perspective. We submitted the first swamp. We received the revisions from your staff. Those revisions were incorporated, and we kept going through this process for at least three iterations till we got to a point where we now had the total of 142 best management practices and a cost of $150,000. When this issue was brought to me in last fall, It really hit home. Obviously, we were in the process of our economic situation was beginning to complicate itself, and all sorts of red flags went up in my mind. I want to address the fact that you've talked about technical feasibility. I want to say, yes, several of these items are independently technically feasible. I would absolutely agree with that. But cumulatively, for a small city, it's just impractical for us to take on this sort of a burden. And I think this can be clearly demonstrated when you take a look at where we sit with the rest of our budgets with the colleague cities in the county. You'll note that we have the smallest budget, despite the fact that we are not the smallest city. With a population of 13,254 people, we are obligated to provide all the basic essential services that all the other cities do, yet our per capita spending is very, very low. And we don't have much options for raising these dollars either. The general fund losses in FY09 are indicated on the slide. We're, facing the same issues that the state is, and the concern I have is that if the propositions don't pass on May 19th, we're going to be in a very difficult position, and our budget will probably reflect what it was in 2004. Also, we have very limited staff. I'm doubling as the public works director, wear a couple of hats, and that's, I got to tell you, not easy. Our city engineer is by contract. Currently in community development department, we're staffed with two planners. Building inspection and plan check is provided by contract services. So, when you look at it, we have 65 current employees in the city. Of that 65, the better than half of those are dedicated to public safety. So you're looking at probably 35 to 40 staff members, and that leaves just about 25 of the rest of us to carry on everything else. The city is obviously not in we're not on the verge of filing bankruptcy, thank God. That's because we have a council that is very conservative and provides us with the kind of direction that we need. But, the issue gets into being, and just to use an example, how do you measure MEPs? Well, would a city that basically was on the verge of bankruptcy be looking at having to follow the same MEPs and the same cost? Or can't there or should there not be some evaluation of what that economic condition is for that particular city? In essence, we're proud of what we've done in terms of stormwater protection to this particular date. I think, as the mayor has indicated, we have shown our dedication. We believe that we still need additional flexibility. In order to get this right, I know that the staff is recommending a year, but we believe it should be at least 2 years for us to be able to take advantage of some of the things that the LID Center is doing, et cetera, to work, collaboratively with our other cities. For the most part, I know some of them are enrolled, some of them are yet to be enrolled, but we are really just starting to walk down the path of working collaboratively, and the 2 years will help us put together a program ultimately that I believe would work for both the city as well as your interest. In terms of the two-year delay, also on the BMPs, I just think that if we take on these BMPs as they currently exist, we just won't be able to implement them. And what that'll mean is then we're going to end up having to pick and choose which ones are appropriate, and I'm not sure that that's going to work for any of our interests as well. So again, we're looking at perhaps a two-year delay in enrollment to redraft the plan in a way that balances the economic reality with our desire to improve water quality conditions and hopefully with a better climate be able to absorb the costs of these programs. I believe that there's all you have the document that was put together by the city attorney that also covers our position relative to an unfunded mandate. I'm going to return the floor for the mayor to make the wrap-up comments.
Thank you, Bob. And again, just to reiterate that the City of Grover Beach, we take this very seriously, and we are committed to minimizing pollutants that are into our waterways and certainly habitat protection. 4 points. We believe this is the stormwater management plan, as I said earlier, was initially prepared by staff, and there have been substantial changes based on feedback from board staff. And we completely appreciate the perspective of regional, doing things on a regional level, especially regarding watersheds, given that we are in the South County and more particularly the Five Cities area. But we need a plan that has balance, that respects local control and local conditions on the ground, and yes, that includes financial considerations. The issue of smart growth keeps coming up, and I would say I agree with the letter that was written by the Home Builders Association, and just so that we are completely clear, I also have a day job. I work for RM Design Group, so I actually have experience from a technical side as well as from a political side, but today I'm here as the mayor of Grover Beach. But we've got the county approving strategic growth policies saying we're going to direct future growth into urbanized areas, and I know they are targeting municipalities. We've got from Sacramento SB 375 talking about reducing vehicle miles traveled, trying to discourage urban sprawl. And when you look at Grover Beach, we are a model city. We are an infill city. We are surrounded by physical constraints, and we're only infill because of physical and some political, and I won't get into that today. But the truth is, since 2006, trying to implement these interim measures has caused significant impacts to projects that, for Grover Beach, are significant. Our only vehicle for improving our community is through redevelopment and infill development. The Chevron station and the Taco Bell are just two small examples of a system that's in place that has started to discourage improvement and investment in our community. The Taco Bell had existed for 30 years in an existing shopping center with existing drainage facilities, yet they were required to put in a underground system that added anywhere between, I'm going to say, $250,000 to $400,000 to that project. And we only learned after the fact that they were considering leaving our community. We have other properties in our community that have existing lots, buildings that are underutilized, that should we continue down this road, we'll be discouraged from the improvements that we sorely need in our community. And Grover Beach has a proven record of collaboration, not only collaborating with boards, but I can tell you we collaborate on fire service with the Rio Grande and Oceano. We collaborate on transit with the Rio Grande, Pismo Beach, and the county. So we will, if we say we will work with you, we will work with you. It just needs to be a balance. And then finally, we are asking that if you are stuck on this is not an unfunded state mandate, we do believe there are opportunities for you to provide some fundings, maybe a demonstration project in the Five Cities area. We have wide streets. We have opportunities for low-impact development. So we want this to be more an incentive than a mandatory plan. And then, as I said, finally, defer enrollment. We believe there are still 16 conditions to be negotiated with the city. And so we respectfully ask that you delay including the city, enrolling the city into the plan or the permit today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Mayor. Any questions for the city? That was their 20 minutes. Mr. Jeffries?
I just have one question for the mayor or the city manager. Both of you, you're asking for a two-year delay, and, of course, your builder's exchange has asked for the same thing. Does that mean that you're going to delay all your projects for 2 years until you're enrolled?
Well, let me just start by saying thank you for the additional time, first of all. If it was my druthers, I would ask for exemption, being an infill city whose only opportunities are infill development and redevelopment, a city that has a very progressive plan on the books. Now, to answer your question specifically, it doesn't mean that we're going to delay development. I think the economy has actually had a bigger say in that than we have. But we do have on the books regulations now where we are retaining stormwater generated by new development and redevelopment that is a lot more restrictive than most municipalities. You have anything you want to add?
And I would just add to that yes, you know, those standards are currently in place and they'll continue to be implied, even though we think they need to be relaxed until we can find a way that we think it works for the city as well as our residents and customers.
Question for either of you two gentlemen. Has there been any discussion about maybe the five cities hiring a stormwater coordinator? I see that was a fairly expensive line item cost, and if the five cities came together and tried to fund something, maybe you have more staff added to that, one for each of the five cities, but you have a coordinator. Does that make any sense?
Actually, I think it makes a lot of sense. We've had some initial discussions with, I've had some initial discussions with other managers regarding doing something similar. And I think ultimately the municipalities are focused on working collaboratively in that effort, but it just takes time because, you know, right now the way these BMPs are set up, we have to start implementing some of those things that would have to be done by a coordinator during this first year of enrollment. And that's one of the issues, is we're at this cusp. Other cities aren't exactly in the same position that we're in.
And well, you mentioned that the BMPs are too costly. Was that a comment that all of them just collectively are, or there's some specific ones you've identified? I know LID and HydroMod are a couple that you are probably specifically referring to. What about the others?
Well, I think cumulatively it's too expensive, but there are probably some that we could begin, you know, working with and identifying those that might have the greatest impact that we may be able to implement with a minimum of cost. We did some analysis of that in the first year. I felt we would be comfortable with an expenditure of somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000, and we would use those dollars to start getting the ordinances and stuff in place regarding illicit discharges and those kinds of things that we could think would have the most immediate impact.
Okay. Question for staff, and then I'll get to you, Mr. O'Malley. Have we enrolled any of the other four cities yet in phase two?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mr. O'Malley.
Thank you. And this might be something for staff later as well, but you did mention it's very challenging to implement projects on small lots and have retention on site. You'd mentioned that in some, and there is some economy of scale of looking at runoff on a larger area. I certainly think it needs to be addressed. Multiple cities is a good suggestion, but you mentioned directing water surface runoff to streets and then possibly looking at some intervention on a larger scale. I know there are some filtering processes that can be put in off. Do you have anything specific in mind that you would be proposing that could maybe be more cost-effective or practical that would be larger-scale treatment?
You know, one of the things that is already operating for us and we need to look at further is just the way we're using our current retention basins. Where water can drain directly into those basins, you're still accommodating retention, and that all will also continue to work for large project development as well. But there are some areas right now that drain directly to our basins, and it would be our preference to see that continue.
And let me just add that. Thank you for asking that question, because one of the points that I missed was the city of Grover Beach, we have probably less than a handful of lots that are 1 acre or larger. So applying the standard to small lots, you can tell where it gets to be very cost prohibitive, and it is more of, it dissuades folks from investing in the properties. One place that we're looking at is the city actually has some of the widest streets on average in San Luis Obispo County. And so we are looking at a street called Long Branch, which is on the downhill side of the community, and we think there may be an opportunity there for some low-impact development. And so we will certainly, we would we would definitely accept any funding for a demonstration project because, you know, we do pride ourselves on trying to be progressive, and so we are consistently looking for solutions. That's just one that comes to mind right away.
Another question about your experience. You mentioned one business that or two that you may have lost. This is a concern I'd had, and I had asked staff, and I thought that the staff was flexible on this in the definitions of what I would call pre-project versus pre-development. And I just think of an example in my own experience. We have a dilapidated parking lot overgrown with weeds. It'd be nice to actually redevelop it, and you could put in some retention basins, pavers, biofilters, and you would improve drainage, stormwater retention from its pre-project levels. It would not be an improvement over pre-development. Now, my experience is what I understand from Region Board staff is if you're making good progress, some percentage progress above what exists, that's acceptable, versus you're not expected to go back to pre-development levels. Now, was that your experience? And I want to make sure that I understand what the problem was with your potential business retention or business development.
Well, everyone talks about the Taco Bell, and I know it's a small project for a city like San Luis Obispo or Santa Barbara or L.A., but for the city with the smallest general fund budget, it's significant. The Taco Bell was part of an existing shopping center that has existed as long as I've lived in Greenwood Beach, which is 22 years. And when they came in to rebuild that business, because the effort was to try to go back to pre-existing conditions rather than pre-development conditions, it meant they had to put in these large vaults to retain on-site storage. And in the city's effort to be diligent and trying to comply, we found that it added substantially to the cost of that project, and it was only when it was in its late stages that I learned of they were considering moving to a different community. Now, as far as actual on-site measures to retain drainage, to use green building techniques, we are certainly open to that. And I'll give you another example. We have a project. And also the Chevron station that was talked about earlier about high water tables and contaminants is actually almost in the center of the city. So as you walk closer to the ocean, you've got an even worse condition. But we've had a builder come forward on a property that was less than a half an acre. They wanted to do a three-story mixed use. It's in the heart of the city. And we know that when they come in with their proposal trying to comply with this, that it's really going to have a significant impact on redevelopment in the heart of this community. So thank you for that question.
Thank you.
Hang on, Monica. Mr. Hodgson and then Dr. Hunter.
It's taken quite a while to get to the point where we have this document here. I'm concerned if we continue this process of discussion, the 142 BMPs will suddenly become 200. And we'll just, you know, keep going. So I would like to see us get a document in place and then have you coming back to us and saying, this is the part that doesn't work and we've got to delete it or modify it. And you know, somehow to stop the discussion. Is there a way we can do this and you folks would still be happy and satisfied and want to progress with this?
I think that depends on the degree of flexibility. And the other point is we do take the BMPs very seriously, and the one thing that I would want to be protected from is if we would clearly have the room to maneuver within those 2 years to report back to you on what we thought we couldn't implement, and secondly, we would not encounter any sanctions, because I've got a concern that if we get a permit with requirements and that we don't perform, we may find ourselves dealing with sanctions, which would put us in a worse position.
Mr. Briggs, is there something there that could be worked out?
Actually, we're going to be talking a little bit about follow-up enforcement approach in the next item. But I think what we've been talking about here is providing some flexibility, and I think your point is well taken in terms of getting this in place, and instead of being concerned about the worst-case scenario proceeding, and if there are technically infeasible aspects of it, as Chairman Young was referring to with the reference on the screen, then those would clearly, we could identify those and deal with them. Mr. Jeffries asked about the ramifications of the requested two-year delay, and does that mean you're not going to have any development for 2 years? And your answer to that, if I'm paraphrasing you correctly, was, well, we have some standards in place, and we're a progressive city. On the other hand, then you turn around and say, those standards are causing us problem, and we need to change them. And what we're actually proposing is that with enrollment, you would have the option, and Tamara Presser was talking about this is actually a unique case where it's sort of the third option that we've never included before, and that is to take those standards and modify them and the applicability criteria to make them work and make them practical. And so it seems to me that what we're proposing is an option that does exactly what you're intending to do and would be accomplished by enrollment.
Well, let me try and answer however much of that I can, and the city manager will fill in. The city standards have been on the books for many years, as was pointed out earlier. We believe we had effectively been implementing retention and addressing the issue of stormwater runoff. In 2006, in anticipation of this day coming, there were some changes recommended to the staff, to the council, to try and retain stormwater on site to the 1%. So we went beyond what we had on the books already. That is what is starting to cause the problems. So we are talking about taking a look at that and rethinking it. We're not saying look at the entire program. I can tell you I've been on this council since 2002. I have gotten more calls in the last 2 years from not just developers, from landowners, whether commercial or residential, and the cost effect it's having on our community. And the calls that I have gotten have more than tripled. So we really need to have an opportunity to go back and take a look at what the changes were from 2006 on. We're not saying let's discard the whole program. We're not saying that. We appreciate the flexibility. And if there is truly that amount of flexibility and that we can kind of work through and have an opportunity to go back and revisit our standards, I think we're okay with that. But it seems that if you've still got 16 conditions that are not negotiated, and you know who knows what else is out there, that we'd like a little additional time to make sure there are no unintended consequences. And secondly, as we all know, those of us who are on the government end know that a plan that gets adopted with standards or policies becomes the law and becomes punishable. And so, you know, I say that's why we're very hesitant to go. And I certainly respect the comment about waiting longer and it goes from 142 to 200, and that's a risk I guess we would have to assess.
As a follow-up, how do you see what you just talked about being inconsistent with that option of modifying your existing criteria?
I think it's primarily the time frame, because the time frame that you've indicated in there is 1 year. We're looking for 2 years, and I think the 2 years does a couple of things. One, it gives us the appropriate time to undertake whatever kind of legislation we may need to implement those standards, and it gives us an opportunity to really evaluate the options as you've laid them out in the attachment to number 4. And finally, I think 2 years provides us the time to work collaboratively, and I think that's a big part of what needs to be done with the other cities so that we're getting a program together that works efficiently and effectively for all of us.
Well, if I may, I think there's a big difference between saying that the 1 year that we're recommending be included in this approval should be extended is a whole lot different than saying do not enroll us for 2 years, because then you're talking about the entire program. The 1 year that you just referred to has just to do with one of the six measures and one aspect of that measure in LID and hydro modification control, right? So that's a whole different ball game as compared to saying throw out the entire program for 2 years, as opposed to we're saying 1 year, you're saying it's going to take longer than that. You think it's going to take longer than that. Mm-hmm. It's really different. It's apples and oranges.
For me, the prospect of the time frame is probably more important in terms of being able to work out a program rather than you know. My concern is if you enroll us today, I guess the aspect, if you enroll us today yet you defer the BMPs for a two-year period of time, well, that may be something that will work, but the thought about the enrollment was simply I'm not sure that enrollment necessarily works unless you have those BMPs in place.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Dr. Hunter.
Just one brief comment, and thank you very much. I appreciate not only the set of concerns that you brought today to this discussion so that help us understand the challenges that you're facing and ways in which we can apply the resources both of the regional board staff as well as the new LID center. And that's my question is, you mentioned several times the possibility of a demonstration project and even named the street, which is great. So clearly there's some ideas brewing there. And I was just curious, is that something you're working on actively with the LID center or with others, or and what are the resources of the city to put together a demonstration project? Because I think the value of that is huge, especially if you are in the lead in the five-city area and kind of creating that collaborative platform. A demonstration project, again, would be a very effective exercise to kind of get people across the perception of these challenges versus the reality of these challenges. So, are you actively pursuing a demonstration project? Where are you in the process?
Yes, we are. And where we are in the process is, I believe we've hired a local firm. Is it Wallace?
Yes.
Wallace Group is designing our... It started out as actually a street demonstration project, trying to figure out how to narrow the street, green up the street. So the design is in process. So we have committed monies to do that. And we are looking for monies through probably through the Council of Governments, through the Transportation Enhancement Program to bring that, you know, to bear. And so any partners with money, we are definitely open to accepting those contributions.
Excellent to hear that.
Mr. Jeffries, I see you reaching for your microphone.
Well, being a former mayor of a city, I understand the plight that you're in, especially a small community as yours. And I know that the only way that cities can get additional funds is with infill projects and redevelopment projects, especially a city of your size. And then you're bound by other cities that you have no place really to expand. And I sympathize and I understand that. But I really think, as a former mayor, talking to you, Mr. Mayor, that your city would be better to be enrolled now. And for us, I'm talking about our staff and your staff, and I know that you have a small staff, and hopefully that there can be some kind of a project with the five cities that reduces the cost to you. And talking about cost, 2 years from now, it isn't going to be any better. You know that as well as I do. The tax are being reassessed. daily because I chair the Monterey County Tax Appeals Board, and we're seeing a tremendous decline in our property tax in our county. You're going to face that here in San Luis Obispo County and your city. I understand all those finances, and I know you don't have a printing press in the basement of your city hall to print more money. But I think, as Mr. Briggs pointed out and some of the other members, is that if you enroll today and we throw some of these BMPs up and you can point to them that they don't work and why they don't work, that there is some flexibility with the staff to make that work or rephrase the BMP to benefit you. And I think that would be a better way of doing it than trying to postpone and going through this gut-wrenching project proposal again in 2 years. And I don't think it'll really buy you anything at all, financially or anything else. But our staff is willing to work. This board is very flexible as we can be under the law. And I hope you understand that we're somewhat tied as well as you are. But as a former mayor speaking to you, Mr. Mayor, I would advise your city to enroll and work with the staff, and the board is here to help.
Okay.
Thank you for those comments, Board Member Jeffries, and I will take those all under great advisement. I just want to make sure that I understand the board's intent. You know, and not that I have suspicions of staff, because I've actually worked as staff. I've actually worked as a staff in municipality for 15 years. So I have experience on all three sides of the triangle. Unless it is written in stone, unless there is a directive from this board for your staff to work with us, we would hope it would not be a very cumbersome process. Because I can tell you, I get calls in my own staff. Well, that's Bob Peralt's staff, can be very difficult to work with on certain items where there is a real philosophical difference. And so that is, while I certainly understand where you're coming from, that is always a concern and a consideration.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Mr. Shawcross.
Yes, can we hear from the rest of the speakers?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
We can go sit down. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Sure. All right. We have, what, Roger, 15 minutes then to...
Yeah, I got it on the timer here.
Okay, all right. So the home builders,